Well, good evening all. I'm glad you could all come out. I've been telling myself all week that I'm not going to be nervous, but being my first time up here, I am a little bit, so I can't lie to you. It's not a good place to lie. So let me just say, first of all, that it is an honor and a privilege to be giving a message. I thank you all for being here this evening, and may God bless us through this reading. I know that we are looking at the Messianic Psalms, but as I was praying and choosing my psalm, Psalm 32 kept coming to mind. I do realize that this isn't a Messianic Psalm, but for me, it is very near and dear to me. It opened my eyes to what my salvation truly means and should mean to any redeemed child of God. Being justified freely by the blood of the Father's chosen sacrifice, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah, whom we worship. So I would like to start with reading Psalms 32. I'm going to start reading in the King James Version. I did not get the page number in the Bible pews, but Psalms 32 is pretty easy to find. So I will begin. It starts, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So in order to understand this passage, we need to ask a couple questions. The first question I have, what is sin? By definition, sin is a transgression against moral or religious law or divine authority. This is the one that we are concerned with. The state of having thus transgressed wickedness. These are Webster's definitions, by the way. What is iniquity? It is a deviation from right. Wickedness, a wrongful or unjust act. Jesus stated that even if we look with lust in our hearts, or if we have hatred toward our brother, that we have broken God's commandments. Romans 3:23 states, "We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So this leads us to my second question. Who were we, or are we? Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. It's Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the others." So here we see a picture of our condition. We were children of wrath. What does it mean to be a child of wrath? The Old Testament gives us one clear example in Genesis 6, 5, 6, and 7. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, and all living things, for it repenteth me that I have made him." Wow, the Lord repenteth. When I think of that, it's in the world that we live in today. How does God look at the world today if every evil imagination was in Noah's time? And we have so many things that enter into our house, and we have cell phones, we have communications that are beyond our imaginations, and the evil that is in man's imagination. So we know about the flood and the 40 days and the 40 nights and how God cleansed the earth with water. But verse 8 gives us hope. It states, "Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," or he found favor. So now that we have a basis on sin, iniquity, and being a child of wrath, the passage, Psalms 32, 1 and 2, states, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit." I have to say, hold on a minute. Romans 3:23 says, "We all have sinned, and we all have fallen short of the glory of God." So how can this be? We must look at a couple more words here, more definitions from Webster's. What is it to be forgiven? By definition, to forgive is to grant a pardon for or remission of, to cease to blame or feel resentment against, to cover. The best definitions, I think there was like 20 different definitions, but best ones that fit this is to provide for payment of or to place something over. So where does this forgiveness and covering come from? I do have quite a few Bible verses here. I have them written down, so just bear with me, please, and we'll go through this. The most famous verse in the Bible, I believe, covers it. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. As I was going through this, there were just so many verses, and I had to just kind of keep it mellow here. Galatians 3:13 states, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now Jesus himself states some profound statements. In John 6:47 and 48, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. And the most profound one of all, which has scholars up in arms, and we have displayed on our wall here, not now, but we have at times, it's John 14:6. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I hear a lot of people say either he was the biggest liar in history, he was either crazy, or he was telling the truth. And we believe he was telling the truth. Paul writes to the Galatians, Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, we now know what sin and iniquity are, who we were or who we are, for those who haven't given their trust to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We know forgiveness and how our sins are covered. We now must ask, who are we? A return to Galatians 4:6-7, starting with the end of verse 5, it says, to receive the adoption of sons or daughters. And because we are sons and daughters, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son or a daughter. And if a son and daughter, then an heir of God through Christ. Wow. We have a lot through that. The Bible also tells us so much more that we are, like redeemed, justified, one with Christ, seated in the heavenlies. Here's a verse that when I first moved into John Grimm's house, we had a Bible study on Ephesians. And growing up, I've heard this verse before, but until I really read it and really dove into it, I didn't understand it. To be seated in the heavenlies, this really floored me, that God sees me already seated in the heavenlies. For all of the transgressions that I have personally against my God, and he has already put me in the heavenlies. So I am already seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And the Father only sees the finished work on Calvary when he looks at me. I am a child, an heir of God through Christ Jesus. What a blessing. Well, to get back to the Psalms, I know I have spent more time elsewhere than in Psalm 32. But I believed that we needed some serious background to understand this psalm. Psalm 32, King James, uses the word blessed. Now some of us, we count our blessings every day. But what is it to be blessed? I have touched on a lot of the major ones. But let's not forget the nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23 states that they are love, joy, peace, patience. That's the one that God's really working on me with. That's a tough one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, even our faith in that our sins are washed, are from the Spirit. Gentleness and self-control. Like Dan said this morning, to flee temptation. We have that self-control with the power of the Spirit to be able to flee the temptation when the devil comes after us, when our flesh tempts us, when the world around us gives us eye candy to look at. We have that self-control. We just have to look to the Spirit for guidance. Let's also not forget the most important one, that Jesus is preparing a place for us, and he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. That is from John 14, 2 and 3. Well, spending more time other places than the Psalms again, that's just how it happens. But when I was looking to do this, I've been telling myself probably for the last year I wanted to get a new Bible. So I went to Half Price Books, Bibles for $6. Not a bad deal. I mean, we can say, oh, what a shame, it's only $6, but then we can say, what a blessing, anybody can afford one, even me. So I would just like to read this passage of Psalms 32 to you out of the New Living Translation. Try to look at some of the blessings. I will give you little hints as I go along on the blessings that I feel are blessings. It says, oh, what joy for those who disobedience is forgiven. That sounds like a blessing. Whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. More blessings. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. More blessings. We can come to God and bring them to him. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. More blessings. And here they really get pretty heavy. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time. The fact that we can even pray to God is a blessing. That they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. We won't face judgment. We will stand before our Lord. Or, as the song says, will I fall to my knees? We don't know, but we will find out when we get there. For you are my hiding place. More blessings. You protect me from trouble. More blessings. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. What a blessing there. The Lord himself will guide us in our lives. I will advise you and watch over you. And do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit or bridle to keep it under control. That means let's not run in the wrong directions. Let's follow what the Spirit has for us, and he doesn't have to tug at us all the time. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Unfailing love surrounds us. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Now, I don't consider my heart pure, but then again, God only sees Jesus when he looks at me. So I thank him for that. What joy it is to be forgiven. But let's not take our forgiveness for granted. Paul writes to the Romans, chapter 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yes, we are sinners. But probably one of my most famous or favorite bumper stickers out there is, Christians aren't perfect. We're just forgiven. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. So we should thank God for our salvation. Be joyful in our forgiveness. And please, please allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in all of the nine fruits. So we can sing with King David. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. And remember, it is only by God's grace that we are saved. And like Noah and his family, we who are washed in the blood have found favor in the sight of the Lord God Almighty. And I could have had an epistle to the Romans here as I was going around, but I wanted to keep it short and sweet. To know what our forgiveness means. I was saved at a young age, and I took my forgiveness for granted. I would ask for forgiveness before I even did something, but still went out and did it. Because I was like, well, if I'm forgiven, then I will deal with that when I get to heaven and I talk to the Lord. There's no dealing with God. God deals with the children of wrath, the children of disobedience. But when we are a child of God, an heir, the verse, don't be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding. I was that horse. I was that mule. I was kicking and screaming. And it took a long time for me to realize that God had a better plan for me. I built my own, you could say, little empire. I thought I had it all together. New cars, house, wife, kids. Thought I had it all. But deep down inside, I knew something was missing. That was that little tug of the Holy Spirit telling me, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. And I remember turning around one time in my backyard and looking at my house and going, look at what I have done. And at that moment, I fell to the ground. And my spirit told me, how dare you take credit for something that should be due to someone else, and that's God. So I can say with Job, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For I went through all my sins and iniquities caught up with me and took me to a place I never thought I would go. Took everything away from me. But God in his great mercy has shown me now that he has a way for me and a way in my life. That's why I feel it's so important that we really understand these blessings that God has. Yes, we have a mansion prepared for us in heaven, and we should always look to the heavenlies. And yes, our sins are forgiven and they are covered, and we can come before the Lord. We don't have to go through the veil because the veil has been torn. Jesus did it all for us. But we need to remember the third person of the Trinity, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will leave you with the Comforter, and he will help you. He is with us always. And realizing that, God sees all. God knows all. I can't hide from him. And even when I tried, he still knew. And he will do whatever he has to get our attentions, because we are his children, for those of us who have accepted him. And he will continue to tug at us and move us in the direction that he wants us to go. It's not always the easiest for me. But seeing where my sins have taken me, I don't wish that upon my worst enemy. But I know that I serve a loving and forgiving God, but also a wrathful and a chastising God. Wrathful to the children of disobedience, but he chastises us like sons. And he will chastise us. Being spanked by my dad, nothing compared to the spanking that God gave me. And he led me to this beautiful chapel where we come every Sunday morning and we look at the Lord Jesus Christ through the emblems and we remember him. He says, do this in remembrance of me until I come. What a blessing that we have been given in that alone, that we can bring our sins and lay them at the feet of the Lord and remember what he alone has done for us and for me. I know I have a long ways to go, but I know if I look to the Spirit for guidance and trust in that tugging that's always there. The Bible says that man is without excuse because we all have a conscience. For me, to block out that conscience is death. To listen to that conscience is God telling us, I have something better for you. You don't need to be away from me. You can be part of me. And I thank God every day for what he has given to me, where he has brought me. I've been in big churches, and the fellowship is nothing like what we have here at Wauwatosa. This little community of believers has helped me, prayed for me, supported me, and given me strength. And I thank you all for being there. I thank you all for just being who you are, the true heirs, the true children of God. And I pray that we may go out in the world in our everyday lives and show that love. That it's not only in these closed doors, but it is to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers, even the co-worker who drives me crazy. But that's all part of God's plan too. He puts people in our lives to direct us, to guide us. This passage means a lot to me. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I'd like to close in a prayer. Most glorious Father, I thank you personally for this opportunity to bring your word. I thank you that you have cleansed me and that you don't see me as who I used to be, but you only see the cross and the finished work. I thank you for this little community of fellow believers. And you know all of the pains that we suffer. You know the illnesses that we are all going through. Problems in marriages, problems in relationships. Babies on the way, babies that have already come, and that has been a blessing. I thank you that you gave your son. You brought him out of heaven, and you laid him in a manger. He lived among us, was tempted as we are, so that he would know, went through the pains that we go through, was tortured by his creation, was nailed to the accursed tree. But he did it all out of love, the love for his own creation, that he could reconcile us back to a holy and loving God. We thank you for that most precious gift. And may we never forget about the gift that we have of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And if we just listen, we can hear him speak to us and guide us every day of our lives. May we continue by that Spirit to feed our souls with your word and put on the armor of God every day. For the world is much more wicked than Noah's day ever thought of being. And it must grieve your heart of what you see. But as Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and you provided that forgiveness. May we be the example in this unholy and ungodly world of how your Son covers and removes those iniquities so that you only see his work and not ours. I thank you once again that all of us came. Guide us all home safely, Lord, and bring us again next week to your table of remembrance, where we can remember what Jesus has done for us. In that most precious name of the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen.